It's not the response the person wanted from Jesus, I suspect. He doesn't tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. He doesn't solve their argument. But what Jesus does is he reveals their inner conflict, the battle within over their own souls. Jesus warns the man and the crowd in the danger of greed. Watch out, Jesus says. Guard your hearts and minds from the deceptive power of greed. Greed has a way of sneaking into our hearts, Jesus warns. Greed can keep us from living our lives meaningfully, Jesus warns. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Life is not about the stuff we own. It's not about material wealth. It's not about our money or our belongings, Jesus tells us. Life's not a game. It's not a race to see who gets the most stuff. And so Jesus tells a parable to illustrate this point. A rich man has such a good harvest that he does not even have enough room to store its abundance. He decides to tear down his older, smaller barns and build new, larger ones. It seems harmless enough. The problem is the inner dialogue that only God can hear and only the man knows, the heart that God also knows. Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry, he says to himself, giving himself this pep talk. You've got it made now, my soul, he says to himself. You can look forward to a long life of plenty, pleasure, and happiness. God interrupts his thoughts with, you fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? It's a disturbing question. Whose will they be? Jesus tells this story to point out the rich man's poverty. He, in fact, is not rich in life. He is poor. He lives in poverty, and God reveals to him he will soon die in poverty. Jesus' words, few as they are, point out a disturbing and profound truth about this individual, that he is poor in relationships, so lonely that you see his conversation is with himself, addressing himself as soul. It doesn't seem that he has any business partners to negotiate with, no friends to consult with, and no family to provide for. God's words, these things you have prepared, whose will they be, is a troubling question. It seems that he has no family, no one to give the things as he has as an inheritance. So self-centered that he has no friends or family, or he has driven them all away. He's not like the man who began this conversation, as you will remember, the one who wanted Jesus to divide his inheritance with his brother. He seems to have the same poverty of the relationship, a broken relationship with his brother. He's fighting his brother. His brother and him are being torn apart over the stuff left behind by his parents, presumably. Two children torn apart by greed. The rich man in the parable is also poor in wisdom. He doesn't seem to realize how short life can be. He seems to have taken his health for granted. He does not invest his money, but hoards it. He seems to think that 1 year of plenty is a guarantee of years of plenty to come. Wisdom would tell you it doesn't work that way, always. The rich man is poor in generosity. He's not concerned with sharing his wealth with family, friends, or strangers, those who may be starving or hungry for his surplus of food. They don't even seem to cross his mind. The rich man is poor in faith. He doesn't seem to trust in God for his things and his future, but only his good fortune. He's poor in humility. He gives himself credit and himself a proverbial pat on the back. Relax. Eat, drink, be merry. He is poor in thanksgiving to God for all his blessings. He's poor in praise. He does not give God the glory for richly providing for his needs of body and soul. And he's poor in prayer. Instead of speaking to God, he speaks to himself, realizing now that God knows every thought and intention of the heart. He's poor in mission. Does not seem to know that we're all created and blessed to be a blessing. You'll remember that he tells Jesus this parable to the man who had a dispute with his brother over an inheritance. He's also telling this parable to the crowds, and now Luke includes it in his gospel. He is the only one. He includes it in his gospel, I believe, so that we can all be warned. We can all avoid the deceit and deceitfulness of riches. James, in his letter, gives a similar warning. He says, "Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field, for the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower fails, and its beauty perishes. It is the same with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away." This is not to say that it is a sin to have wealth. It's certainly not a sin to have an upgrade in your barns, to get rid of the smaller ones and build larger ones up. But it is a warning, and a blessed warning from Jesus himself, that riches are fleeting, life is short, and we should not be preoccupied with the things of this world, so much so that we forget about the things of God. "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves," Jesus says, "but are not rich toward God." Rich toward God. Jesus ends his lesson with this profound phrase, "rich toward God." But what does it mean? God has made us rich in his Son, Jesus Christ. God enriches our lives with wisdom when we are poor in wisdom. We realize how short and precious life is. Rich toward God. We want to give back. We want to be generous and be rich in generosity because of all that we have been given. God enriches our lives with faith. We trust in God to take us through years of plenty, but also years of want. It is already ours in Christ. It has already been given. God has enriched this world, and God continues to enrich us. And he has made us rich in his Son, Jesus Christ. Continuing with humility, we know that it is only by God's grace and mercy that we live and we love God and our neighbor. God enriches our lives with thanksgiving. We have all that we need for this body and life because of him. God enriches our lives with praise, even as we come this morning to join our voices together in music and song, giving God alone the glory for enriching our lives now to all eternity. God enriches our lives with prayer, something that made that man terribly lonely. In Christ, we always have someone to talk to. We get to talk to God, our Creator, our Redeemer, daily, hourly, minute by minute, in a personal relationship with Him. And God enriches our lives with a mission, purpose, and meaning in our lives. We get to enrich the lives of those around us, just as we have been richly blessed. In Christ, we richly bless because we are so rich toward God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.